know, doing all the work we all do to do the radio show, you're doing the same kind of thing with the writing, you know, which I've always loved. And now it's kind of the same stuff as the radio, and you write instead of broadcasting.
Are you still, like, combing the papers and the news sites and watching TV like that doesn't go?
Yeah, not as much. You know, I still follow it all, but I'm a bit more selective in what I do consume in the media. And I'm kind of picking and choosing a little bit to what might work in doing what I'm doing, the writing and the ideas and stuff like that. It's interesting. I'm rereading a lot of stuff I've read down the years. And now you don't have the daily pressures of the radio. You know, you absorb more, you take it in more, I think.
And you can marinate more, where there's, you know, when you do a radio show, you come up with a plan, we're going to do this tomorrow, and you have to think of it overnight. And even as soon as you deliver your line, you go, geez, this came to mind, or, you know.
Yeah, there's always a better way, isn't there? Mm. And you're right, you know, we just work to these crazy pressures.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's true, Jade, isn't it? You know,
it is.
And you don't know how crazy it is sometimes when you're in the middle of it. And
then
you get outside
true.
And you think, then you get outside of it and you think, my God, how'd you do that for so long? That's nuts.
We've all been there, haven't we? We have.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you enjoy it. You guys really are. Doing great.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's been, you know what, this is compared to my partner last year, like Jade's was, you know, we get respect, we know where we're going to go, and we sort of can, I don't know, we just have similar sort of ideas on things. I mean, we must have had the same upbringing, which is amazing, so.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how different people, well, some people compliment each other and some people don't.
Mm.
But you guys obviously do. It's quite clear, very different personalities, but also, as you say, mate, there's respect there, and it comes across. Yeah.
It's working in the market. It's working in the market beautifully. I mean, we had the latest ratings. We are clear number one. We maintained the ratings from the last brekkie team that have been there 12 years, so you've got to be happy with that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well done. So. Congratulations.
All right, GC, well, I'll kick off a very short intro, and then we'll just get straight into it. That way we can just do a self-contained piece and cut it up.
You're a legend, and I'm in your hands, and thank you very much for doing it as well.
Oh, God, as if we weren't going to. Can I tell you, though, I've got to be really honest with you before we do the actual official bit. It took me longer than it should have to do this because, as both my friend and my mentor, it's a big undertaking, right? And you would have had that experience speaking to people that you respect immensely.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to strap that on and decide I'm going to, because that's what they say. They say don't meet your heroes, right? So interview your heroes is a very different undertaking.
You know, it is hard. Yeah, I recognize and I respect it too. It's it is hard. I felt that along the way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Greg's a normal bloke.
One or two.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
You're a normal bloke. I mean, that's the thing. You
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, and most people are, but there are just one or two you meet along the way. I remember the first time I interviewed John Laws. I thought, man, and I got to know John okay, but it was always, he was kind of John Laws, and you could never really see him as just a bloke.
Mm.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
You know, Greg, years ago, I mean, on that, I don't know, you know, I interviewed John Laws way back in my career. It would have been 89, 90. And I remember the interview was going on. He was just like sounding really bored. And I said a question to him that really changed the tone of the interview. I said, look, John, we know this career's helped you out, made you a lot of money. I said, has that changed you? And I think he stopped and the conversation just went totally different. I think he sort of realised, okay, this guy's going a bit of a different tact. And you could feel a bit more respect come out of him.
Yeah, yeah. And he is just a normal bloke. As you said, we all are. We're just... it's oftentimes how we respond rather than the person themselves. It's
so
interesting dynamic.
It is so, so true. That's what you've always said to me, though. They're just people, JJ. They're just people. It's true. You have. You've always said that to me.
Yeah.
You know,
Greg's just a man, JJ.
Just a man. All right. So let's kick it off. Are we ready? Okay.
Here we go.
Greg Carey is a name synonymous with radio. He's had more than three decades on the air and has been a regular contributor to the Sunrise program on Channel 7 for more than 10 years, but I am proud to call him both a friend and a mentor, and now my new favourite author, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, Jade. Hey, Bilko. Good morning, guys.
Mate, you finally sat down and wrote a book. The book is called The Absence of Certainty, and it is a beautifully woven memoir, and it's something that you wrote for your daughter, Beck. What made you finally sit down and write the book?
It was a promise, Jade. It was a promise that I was happy to keep. I wanted to make a kind of a generational link. You know, time passes so quickly for all of us, and I looked back on it and I thought, we're now as far from my birth date in 1953 as 1953 was from 1884.
God.
Wow. Yeah, when you do those numbers, it's scary.
It is. So, it passes so quickly. And now for Beck's daughter, Billy, as well. I just wanted them to have a sense of the times through which their father and their grandfather went. And through my writing, my father and my grandfather. So you go back quite a period of time, which I think gives us all a little bit better context about our own lives and where we're at, you know.
I think it's a wise decision to put it on paper, Greg. The book is skillfully and artfully written. It is a beautiful piece. And
Thank you.
Think your daughter and granddaughter will benefit from having it. My dad is dealing with Parkinson's disease, and his fear is not being able to pass on his recipes to my brother and I. And so I think the idea of having an enduring legacy like this book, it's priceless. You know, it's a treasure, in
fact.
Thank
you. Well, thank you for that. And I guess the idea of giving it wider publication, I was encouraged to do that by Hetty Johnson from Bravehearts and one or two others, is the hope that it will spark memories and thoughts in other people as well who read it, some who will know me and many who won't know me. And that's the kind of reaction we're getting from it, that, you know, it is a bit of a chronicle of our times, all the issues of our times, all the people you run across during those times. So I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I really am.
Yeah, it's beautiful. There's stuff in there that I didn't know about you, Greg, and you've had a very interesting life, not always an easy life, but it dawned on me that you don't appear to be able to hold grudges. Someone somewhere along the line taught you grace. And who do you credit with teaching you grace?
That's a lovely thing to say. And it's a powerful thing to have. I write about it in the second or third last chapter in the book about just letting it go, which stemmed from the tragic murder of Bruce Steenson in the Lulabara about a decade ago now. And his mum, Gloria's words at the time, just he created a foundation called Just Let It Go. And they were Bruce's final words. He intervened in a nasty incident at a cab rank. He told them, look, just let it go, turned his back, walked back, and this guy hit him in the back of the head and killed him. Now, that was grace on Gloria's behalf. Just let it go. And I suppose way back, my grandfather was a terrific influence. You know, as you say, I chronicle in the book some things that happened to me as a child, which gives you a choice of whether you're going to move on and get over it and come to terms with it, or whether you're going to hold grudges for the rest of your life. And so we all have choices. Every day we have choices, don't we, in everything we do.
Yeah.
Everything we confront, everyone we confront. There's always a choice.
Yeah, Greg, I want to ask you about the radio side of things. And what impresses me is your connection with your listeners. I mean, a lot of our listeners would be familiar with your show, having gone all over Queensland, being broadcast around the state. There's a story you have in your book about connecting with a particular listener who actually, you know, you went to his home. I, in my entire radio career, have never thought of going to any of the Zinc family's house. I mean, we got an invite the other day to come and have a cup of tea at someone's place, and I thought, this is a bit unusual, but Greg, not for you, mate.
No. Well, I guess that, you know, our listeners become our family in many ways, and there are many who are a bit cynical about readers and listeners and viewers and the rest of it, but I never was. I met so many wonderful people through the radio show, and I think the one you're referring to is I had an invitation to go for a cup of tea at Scarborough from an older gentleman at one point, and I happily accepted, and I went down to the house, and it's a lovely part of the world, of course. And I walked in the house, and I kind of recognized the old gentleman, but then I looked around his lounge rooms, and I saw a picture of him with Jack Nicklaus, and a picture of him with Greg Norman, a picture of him with Gary Player. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was Norman Bonnider, one of Australia's greatest ever golfers. Norm became a dear friend of mine down the year. So, you know, yeah, just say yes to those invitations. I think you just never know where they're going to lead.
You are a just say yes kind of guy, though, Greg. You have always had a positive outlook, and you tend to take the bull with, you know, both horns and just say, let's just do it. I find that fascinating because I think sometimes people think radio hosts are always really extroverted people, and a lot of the time, they're not. They're very introverted people on the outside. And so to make a decision to you know, go and speak to people like that on a one-on-one level is, I think that's a little bit unusual.
See, that's interesting, Jade, isn't it? Because I think I'm fairly shy, like a lot of radio people. And we get into radio not necessarily to talk to thousands and thousands of people, but because we love the sound of it, we love the music, we love the interviews, we love everything associated with it. But actually, talking to thousands of people is not something you can get into your head. So I always try to keep it on an individual level, which maybe is why you relate to your listeners on that basis. But whilst I'm positive and mostly a yes person, I do think one of the most powerful words in the language is no.
And that's very hard, Greg. I find that hard. Yeah. It's hard to deliver those two letters.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all do, Bilko, you know. And until we learn to do it, and it doesn't need to be harsh, and I think it's a really important word for our children to know. I think it's a really important word in our democracy to know. No, I won't tolerate this. No, I won't put up with this.
Great.
No, I, you know, yeah.
Before you and I were friends, you were originally my boss. I came to you from another radio station and you were my boss. And I have 3 of my 4 children while working with you. And at one point I said to you, I had to have the day off. My daughter was sick and I couldn't come into work and I had myself in an absolute state. And you said to me, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And then the next day when I went back to work, I had apologized to you and you sat me down and you said to me, and I've never forgotten it. You said to me, JJ, never miss a sports carnival, never miss a concert, never miss anything that your kids need. And I don't...
That's wonderful.
I don't know if you knew then how powerful those words would be, because we make apologies, we make sacrifices, we do all of those things for the workplace that we live in. And sometimes, as you just say, we have to learn to say no, but I wasn't very experienced with that. I wasn't very experienced with putting myself or my kids first. And that was a huge moment, a pivotal moment, in fact, in my career and indeed in my life.
That's wonderful. You see, I'd forgotten I'd said that, and I'm sure we all say things on a daily basis, and I'm sure your listeners are listening now thinking of maybe the kinds of things that people have said to them down the years, and maybe they wish that people had said to them down the years. So I'm so glad I said that at the time.
I'm so glad you said it too, because it stuck with me. It stuck. I don't apologise anymore for things that are out of my control, or I try not to, and certainly I know that there's nothing else but family, right? At the end of the day, that is all there is.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting point that you made though, Bilko, isn't it, that we do find it difficult, and I'm not entirely sure why that is.
I think we like to be liked, Greg. I think everybody likes to know that, you know, that when you, say, walk down the street, like we walk, you know, in our listening area, we want people to high-five us, we want people to pat us on the back. I mean, you do want, I suppose, a bit of satisfaction for getting out of bed in the early hours of the morning and providing entertainment, but I know it's not why we do the job, but you still want validation, I think.
Yeah. Doesn't it underline as well, and you're right, it underlines the importance of words and how we all speak to each other all the time, whether you're on the radio or whether you're just going about your life. You never quite know which words are going to have an impact and which words might really have a profound effect on somebody who needs those words all the time.
We do listener lunches on a regular basis, and people come at us with, I love it when you mentioned this or had a chat to this person about it, you know, this mental health issue or something, and you forget you did them months ago, but yet that person's remembered.
Yes, and that was one of the reasons I wrote the book too, in those areas where I talk about, and I was happy to talk about it publicly, anxiety and various things. I think it's important we talk about those things, and in the media, we can have a positive impact by, you know, our listeners, our readers, viewers, etc., experience these same things, and often don't have somebody advocating that or expressing what they're going through necessarily, so... You know, you guys are sounding great, and whilst we get up each day and we just want to do our job, there's an enduring impact of all of that as well. You know, just being happy and bright every day, talk about interesting things every day, and just touching people's lives in a certain way.
It's a gift, right? We're lucky to be able to do that every day. Greg, you did it for decades, and you are loved and revered as a man of the people. But you have met some very interesting people. You've interviewed everyone from Gough Whitlam, former Prime Minister, cricket captains, and in fact, even a convicted murderer. Who would you say is your favourite guest? It doesn't have to be a famous person. It can be. But who would you say sticks in your memory?
So many, Jade. So many, and we'll all have our favourites. But the one who stays with me most probably is a man who was one of the first to walk on the moon, Jim Irwin. Jim Irwin, yeah. James came into the studio, and he was talking about his experience on the moon, and maybe this is why it had such an impact. He said he was just standing. And, I mean, can you imagine standing on the moon by yourself? You're just there, We look at it every night, and without the moon, we don't exist. And Jim stood on the moon. He hadn't gone to the moon a religious person, but he stood on the moon, and suddenly he was just overcome with emotion and just cried and cried and cried. And he became a committed Christian, and he lived his life in that way. But just that one moment, because he looked down on Earth and just called it my little blue planet. And that kind of stuck. And you try and put yourself in that position, which is entirely impossible.
Yeah.
But he came back to tell the story, a remarkable story, yeah. But so many. So many.
So many.
What about Jane Fonda, Greg?
Well, I always love Jane, and thanks for reading in detail. Yeah, well, I like Jane. One or two listeners who remembered her attitude during the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Greg, she's still got it today at 80-whatever years of age. That woman has sass and sexiness.
Yeah, and she's a bright lady. You know, like all of us, she's made one or two mistakes along the way and one or two big ones along the way, but I interviewed her because of her talent. She's an interesting human being and, as you say, made a huge talent.
You are an interesting human being, my friend. Greg Carey, The Absence of Certainty is the book. It is a memoir. It is beautifully written. We congratulate you on the book and we thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Bilko. Really appreciate it. Huh?